Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. I have a two-part show and tell for you. I owe credit for this particular show and tell to Richard Beck, who is a theologian and psychologist. And he talked about how he learned the things that he knows about Christmas. He pointed to the Charlie Brown Christmas special and the way that he learned from that the one that nobody understands is actually the most important person, the one who is most left out, is actually the one who brings us all together. He learned as well from the Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer Christmas special, that the people who don't fit in may be the ones who save the day. You may know the story of Hermie the elf who wants to be a dentist and the Bumble who can put the star on top of the Christmas tree. We know these things intuitively. This is part of what makes these Christmas specials work. We know that it is the one that seems the most left out who is actually the most important. We know that the people who don't fit in are so often the ones who really come through and save the day for us. We know those things, and we know that the world so often works in ways that make it really difficult to live out those truths. We recognize that in the way that joy and laughter work, as Morgan and Kinley talked for us about joy this morning. We know that joy and laughter are so often about something unexpected arriving, but it wasn't completely unexpected. It's something we've been counting on all along, but its arrival is still a surprise. I think that's what Christmas joy is like. We have joy in this morning's scripture reading as we continue the story of the lead-up to Jesus' birth. 2 weeks ago, we heard the announcement by an angel to Zechariah, who would become the father of John the Baptist, that his wife would become pregnant, even though Zechariah and Elizabeth were both far too old to have children. And last week we heard another unexpected announcement from that same angel to a young woman named Mary, who was not yet married, that she would become the mother of Jesus, the one who would be known as the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, Mary and Elizabeth were not too distant relatives, so Mary is going to go off to visit Elizabeth today, and we will see how joy breaks out in that visit. Will you pray with me? O God Most High, we seek you in these words of Scripture. Overshadow us with your Holy Spirit, and let your beloved Son be born in us again. Amen. This morning's scripture reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Advent candle reading this morning focused on joy. Think about what joy looks like. Joy might look like that open-mouthed smile and those eyes widened at least a little bit. It might look like sunlight sparkling on the snow. Joy might sound like laughter or squeals or peaceful music or birds singing. Maybe joy tastes like something. Maybe joy tastes like honey or fudge or salted popcorn. Maybe joy smells like pie crust or roses. What does joy look like or smell like or feel like in your body? Our Christmas stories tell us where to look for joy. Some of those stories, like we shared in the show and tell, other stories tell us to look for joy in the enthusiasm of Santa's tallest elf, or the sound of a guardian angel earning his wings, or the insight that there is still time for generosity that can change lives, including the life of the giver. Mary sings about joy for us today. This is a common pattern in Luke's telling of the gospel. First, God acts, God does something, and then the Holy Spirit fills a human being, and that human being sings or preaches God's praises. There are two prophets, actually, in today's story who are singing and preaching God's praises. There is Elizabeth first, who is filled with the Holy Spirit and pronounces blessing on Mary, God's favored one. And then there's Mary. Mary heard last week, as we read the story together, that she would become the mother of Jesus. And so she rushed off to see Elizabeth, her cousin, who was having her own unexpected pregnancy, because Mary needed someone who would understand, who could understand where she was coming from, what her experience was like at least a little bit. And honestly, Mary probably needed the protection of Elizabeth's household and Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. See, Mary was engaged, but she was not yet married. She was not only the least likely person you could find to become pregnant, but she was also the most endangered by her pregnancy. There was no one there to protect her if Joseph should take badly the news of Mary's pregnancy. So there's something not just unimaginably profound in the way that God comes to birth in this most humble human life, but there is something really challenging for us about the danger of the way that God comes to birth in this particular human life. There was danger all around Mary, in fact, danger for her people. Mary lived in a town called Nazareth, a no-name town under Roman imperial power. Mary's town was so unimportant that outside of the Gospels, nobody would write down the word Nazareth for 200 years after this scene takes place. Mary is in a literal nowhere, under the shadow of the largest, most violent empire you could imagine. Nearby this nowhere, there was a somewhere city. It was called Sepphoris. You don't need to remember that. This somewhere city had just at this same time been captured by the Romans, probably that very same year. The Romans sacked the city, they enslaved the separatists who held on there. This was the power of death made visible right down the road from where Mary lived. And the Romans rebuilt that town throughout Jesus' life and turned it into a local seat of Roman power, a demonstration of all that Rome could do to you if you dared to stand up against them. So when Mary, an unmarried nobody from a nowhere town, when she sings about God lifting up the lowly, she knows who the lowly are. When Mary sings about God lifting up the lowly, she knows what she is speaking of. Mary's song is not only about herself, it is about the whole world, particularly about the most marginalized people in the world. Mary and Elizabeth join this long line of prophets who know that God's covenant promises have always applied especially to the people who are on the margins, the people on the bottom of the world's power structures. They can trust that God will be loyal to the people of Israel and to their ancestor Abraham, not because they were formerly great, but because they are weak and vulnerable. Because God's greatness is always most clearly for the most vulnerable among us. Mary is closer to understanding that than I am. Her vulnerability puts her in a better position to see the gospel as really good news. That's why she can sing for herself and for the world in the same breath. Mary sings about the most marginalized people, and that baby in her womb is listening in. Jesus will constantly seek out the poor and the excluded. He will pronounce a blessing on the meek and the poor and the hungry and those who mourn, because he's been listening in, because he is part of the work, he is the work of God to transform the world by building a joyful community among the people on the edges, the people on the margins. As we have worked through this time of pandemic, as we have worked through this time of trying to understand how we can rebuild a world that is not just the world that we came from, but as we seek to rebuild a world that is truly whole and holy and healed, we've been asking questions about what kind of world we want this to be. We want this to be a world where we just know how to put together a relief fund that celebrates a chance to give away what someone else needs. We build a world where we gather gifts for adopted families so that we can meet their basic needs, including their need for joy and celebration. We build a world where we can enter into partnership with our neighbors on the margins. We build a world where we make special room for the people who don't seem to belong, because that is the world that Jesus has come to create, to call into being as God's redemption. We celebrate that coming redemption with joy. Amen. And now, a moment for mission. Our moment for mission this morning lifts up the work of the Salvation Army. Every year we partner with the Salvation Army, gathering coins at their Red Kettle campaign. We offer special thanks this year to Mark Hilliard and Elizabeth Hilliard, who were our representatives gathering coins at the Red Kettle campaign on behalf of our youth group. The Salvation Army is also our December Coins for Concern organization. This year, the Salvation Army will see much greater need for their services and a loss in income due to the restrictions on shopping and people's discomfort with being out, which is entirely reasonable. And so we lift up particularly the needs that they have identified.
The need has always been there. A need for food, shelter, clothing, compassion. The need for help overcoming addiction. The need to support families. Love the forgotten. Lift up the downtrodden. The need has always been there. This year, it just happens to be greater. More families than ever are facing poverty. If you need help, please reach out. If you can give help, please reach within.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.